again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. This week, we'll be covering the AKC National Championship broadcast on ABC, seminars, and hypothetical world of dog shows without advertising, all that and more, right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins, shattered glass.
Well, good early morning to you there, young William, out there on the West Coast time, taking
a vacation
of dogs and sunshine. Oh, no, wait, you're not going to have sunshine yet. You're in Seattle.
Not yet. No, we're still in Seattle. It's still, it seems like it's always dark. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
But hey, great coffee on every corner. That's true for Fargo and everywhere else in the world now. Everywhere you go, you know, it used to be you could only get a $10 cup of coffee in Seattle. Now you can get it. Anywhere.
No. We stopped in this town of Snohomish yesterday for breakfast. It was beautiful. It was a quaint little town.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. The trees are so tall. That's why it stays so, like, where I am, I'm at Sherry and Daryl's, and the trees surround the place. So right. It looks like it's dark until like 7:30, but you look up and the sun's up there. It's a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great city. I love it. And I love all the food and all the good stuff and museums and a bunch of, I'm not a fan of traffic.
I'm going to a hockey game next week.
Are you a Kraken game?
I'm going to a Kraken game.
Oh,
Daryl,
man.
And I are going the afternoon game.
Wow, that'll be great. That arena looks to be, I just can't wait to see that arena.
Yeah.
Have you
Tampa
seen
Bay, Tampa Bay and the Kraken.
Oh.
It'll be a good game.
Yanni v. Yanni.
Yeah.
Is Yanni Gord still on?
I'm not sure if he is or not.
When he got traded.
But they still are both. The Kraken have been having a great year and their breakout year. And then and Tampa's always competitive. So it'll be fun.
But this arena, to preserve the historic, I'm sure you dog show people are thrilled we're talking about this. But we haven't got enough hockey in lately. But this arena, the roof was special, and they wanted to preserve it historically. So they jacked it up, and this is not a house.
A garage.
This is an enormous facility. It cost them millions to jack it up so they could build the building under it and then drop it back down on. And the whole thing is sustainable and recyclable and runs off nothing and all that cool stuff that makes sense for the ethos of Seattle and for, future arenas. Anyway, very cool stuff. I wish you luck there. Well, that should be fun.
It's going to be good.
But you're heading somewhere that I would sure like to be. This weekend, right here in America, one of the greatest dog shows that we've all been looking forward to. And I'm not going to be there, unfortunately. Palm Springs Kennel Club. This is a big dog show in America. 3277 on Saturday, Will. 3,200 dogs in one place.
I know. I can't wait. I'm going. We just have the Beagles entered, so it's going to be fun just to sit back and watch in the sunshine and on the polo field. It's going to be great.
Man, oh, man. Don't worry about me, Will. I'll be sitting here in the gray skies of Michigan with some snow, a little slush, and some fog. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. You don't need to invite me. I understand how you are.
Well, I'll FaceTime you and wander you around the dog show with me.
I can live vicariously through your Facebook.
Look, everybody's Wayne Kavanaugh. Get your picture taken with him.
I've got to get my picture taken today, by the way. It's a long story. No one wants to hear. I'll tell you off the air. But Yeah, it's a circus, I'm telling you. I'm not that guy that uses a headshot from 17 years ago where I don't have a single wrinkle and I look like $1 million marked down from $1.5 million. I'm not that guy. I've got to reveal the true face. Battered, weathered, the Keith Richards version of me. Anyway,
Keith Richards.
There's a picture of Iggy Pop in the New York Times today that you might want to look at if you want to feel young.
Now we're off topic. I just downloaded an album of his.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow. He's a cover story today. So
I was driving.
There's another couple cover James. Stories today in America.
I flew to Vancouver and stayed with James for a couple of days, James and his girlfriend, Veronica. And then we were going to movies and doing stuff, and he had Iggy Pop on the radio. I'm like, what album was that? He says, that's the Idiot album. I said, I love it. So I downloaded it.
Oh, cool. Very cool. He has a new rock and roll album, I understand, too. And he shows dogs, a lot of dogs. He does not show dogs. I just thought I'd throw it in and try to bridge the segue.
People think, oh, Iggy Pop. Now they're all on Google. Iggy Pop, what kind of dogs? Iggy Pop.
I better download The Idiot. Right now. Anyway, it'll be really fun to see how Palm Springs goes. I've never been. And that's I can't believe show. I've never been.
It's a great show.
Yeah, I've got to get out.
I've only been one other time, and I enjoyed myself immensely.
I mean, it looks like the place to be, and I've got to do it. It's just, after the holidays and after Orlando, I'm kind of out of gas, and I have some shows coming up. So it's something that never pops up my radar. But next year, I will be there, young William.
And there's a Beagle specialty on Thursday.
Yes, there is. And Jason Hoke, isn't Jason doing it?
I think he is, yes.
Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch. And lots of good Beagles out there.
Yeah.
Are you showing yours?
A good entry.
Pardon? Are you showing yours?
I have our puppy entry. Yeah.
Oh, good. Fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of puppies, boy, I went through the catalog and made notations of the puppies I saw in Orlando that I really want to follow up on next year. I love doing that. It's also a really good way to just educate your eye on how some of these dogs grow. In our own breeding programs, we always look and go, we know exactly how this is going to go. It's going to have this stage. It's going to have that stage. It's going to look like this. That front's never going to get better. Although a friend's similar line would get better. You know all that. But when you look at these, it's just a spread of different breeds and different breeding within the breeds and watch them grow. I love doing that. It's in my mind, it's educational and fun too. So, hey, speaking of education and seminars, we had a nice post on the Book of Faces. My father used to call it the Book of Faces.
The Book of Faces.
It was a book with faces on it. Yeah. And I never had the heart to tell him any different. But quite frankly, it actually is a book with a bunch of faces on it. So
Do you remember Stan Whitmore?
I do.
Well, when the internet started coming out, he Stan was the best, eh? But he was older. And we were talking one time, and he's like, oh, yeah, that. He called, he's telling me a story about going on his computer and going on to the intercourse. it's on there somewhere. I'll have to look it up.
Good thing to look up. Anyway, a comment from Pam Bruce, who we watched judge, and I thought did an excellent job down there. From our last seminar, we're talking about how I like to take seminars in breeds that I never intend to judge, and just because I want to learn. And also, I think it helps you, whatever new breed you learn about other breeds just through your comparative mind and history. And she says, great point about taking breed seminars that you will not be licensed for and appreciating them. One of those breeds may walk into your best in show ring and you have education, knowledge, and a comfort level in assessing them. That's true. You get into these situations where if you're a one group judge, you get to judge best in show.
Is that still the rule? I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Up here, it's three or four, I forget.
And even if it's three or four, you're going
to get breeds to walk in. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not going to get it all from one seminar unless you do what you're supposed to do before you go to a seminar and have some basis of knowledge in that breed before you go to the seminar. So maybe you're not going to be a rural expert, but at least when you go in there, you know where to put your hands and what you might want to look for. I take two seminars in every single breed. Well, not every single breed. Not the ones that I can't pronounce, Will. I don't want to have to write that in my book. Ever. Schnitzel Fungen Stufer Bungers. I don't know who these things are. Oh, I know what I want. Anyway, I thought that was a good point. We also had a great email from Susie Schaefer.
Yes.
And I'll just read an expert. From
an expert.
I don't look it up on the intercourse. Yeah. anyway, an excerpt. She says, how do you think the dog show world is fair in this present time if we were able to have an entire year free of advertising? Follow-up questions. It says, it's no small task to think about now with the power of social media, which is also true. But in your mind, let's say it's possible, and this is a dream, of course, the magazines halt production for a year. Not going to happen, but I understand the premise, right? No online advertising on their websites either. It strictly becomes a place to track stats and search for upcoming shows and panels. So it would just be data-driven, the publications would be. Follow-up questions. Do you think the judging would be more honest? Do you think that would help entries? Do you think it would weed out the judges who really don't know? And would it make better judging overall? Now, I've had this. This is similar to my impossible scenario where you have you take a panel of good judges, you put them on Mars for a year, and then you have dog shows that go on all year, and you transport them on the spaceship Enterprise to the middle of wherever this dog show is. You plop them down, they go right in the ring. They can't even talk to anybody. They go right in the ring. And they've got to judge dogs without knowing what went on previously or what the records are or anything else. That's the only pure judging you could ever get.
Yeah. And we can talk to Elon Musk and see if we can get that set up. So.
Yeah, I'll give Dr. Spock a call. But this is a similar scenario that Susie's setting up. And I don't think she means let's do it. I think she's obviously talking about a hypothetical situation, how that would affect things. And it makes a good point. To take them one by one, do you think judging would be more honest? That one I'm not sure about. I think judging's pretty honest anyway, for the most part. Any event, everything is going to have its crooks. But
right, it's a human nature event. It's canine figure skating. I don't know if it's always something involved, but to be dishonest, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a matter of dishonesty. I think it's more a matter of subtlety and bandwagon mentality and insecurity.
I think insecurity has a lot to do with it, a lot. I really do, especially with the younger judges, because they see someone who they respect, who they think in their mind's eye is the cat's meow judging Snoogle, Hagen, whatever that you called them. And sure, you're going to want their opinion and see what they did.
Yeah. If they put it up and I respect them, maybe I should take a harder look.
Right.
Do you think it would help entries? I do. I guess I do, because everyone think they would have a chance. I mean, there's specials that are out that are so red hot now that the other dogs just don't bother. Why would you?
Right.
When you have something red hot that's being advertised and ranked and all that, a lot of people say, why would I get beat every weekend, if I live in their area?
But on the other hand, I think just like and I think this truly happened in the old times before the intercourse, before the internet, before social media. Now we're going to say it just because. Yeah. I think the cream rose to the top in the judging ranks.
Yes.
Like I think the ones that didn't perform as well in certain reads just didn't get those assignments as often now. I think now you find different things happening, different variables, why certain judges are judging different areas and other judges are judging different areas. And back in the day, it wasn't so apparent. I think I remember talking, was it you? I can't remember. But they don't think there'll ever be another Mrs. Clark-like character again because the system just won't let it happen. So,
yeah, you're right. Well, I think Those are really good points. And you would probably get more breed entries because, you would have to have, but again, if the dog shows, it would be an interesting intersection of events because you'd have to have big breed entries to make that all happen. You're not going to do it with 10,000 dog shows a day. Another good point. Do you think it would weed out the judges? And I think you already spoke to this a little bit. Do you think it would weed out the judges who really don't know the standard for a particular breed?
Well, if everything was based on entries, I think you'd eventually see that some people just wouldn't enter under Charlie Brown or whoever, if they felt that he wasn't doing a good enough job. Like I remember when I was a kid, when Albert Rosenberg would show up to Canada, we couldn't wait. You know, we flocked to judge to show to him. So,
yeah. Oh, I have one of my favorite pictures is of Alva giving my father a group of the Beagle. And what I remember about him is he had a great fedora.
Yeah.
Alvin, not my dad. I don't know if it was Alvin or just Al Rosenberg. Whatever it was. Anyway, and a wrinkled raincoat that was beyond wrinkled.
It was a trench coat.
Completely wrinkled trench coat with a really cool fedora and a ribbon in his hand. My father could not have been any more. It was a class dog, by the way. Over Desert Wind, that's when Forsythe said, "Hey, Ray, can we buy your Beagle?" Harold's Prince Charles, for anyone who follows such things from a million years ago. Anyway, I think it would sort those things out. Right now, it's the same old thing. We talk about it all the time. You get multi-group judges. And they may be good in some breeds and not as good in others. And that's true for every judge. But when it came down to, it would weed out the ones that if they didn't, there's plenty of judges who get by following advertising and handlers.
Well, there's no question.
High profile breeders.
No question. Right?
High profile exhibitors, not just handlers. And you can get by doing that. jump on the bandwagon. You can get by judging that. Unless you watch those people judge classes, that's when you really see it fall apart, right? But picking the big breed winner is not too hard if you don't have any courage and you want to do what everybody else does, and no one's going to argue with you for that. So yeah, I think that would make a difference. On the other hand, it's so ubiquitous. If the magazines were to stop advertising, people would just advertise on social media. And that's what they do now anyway.
Yeah.
They run their magazine ads on Facebook. So even if you don't get that magazine, you're still going to see the ad. And
yep, that's true.
So how do you do that? How do you close down social media?
But there was, in my interview with Val, we talked about her dog. I think his name was Toby. She didn't get an ad all year long, and he still did very well.
Yeah.
So that's a commitment.
But that was a while ago, Will.
Yeah, I know. But there were still magazines out there.
Oh, yeah.
Still magazines. But it brings to the point about our judges, how they, before social media, how they were a bit, not better educated, but they, how do I say it? You had an abundance of higher quality judges consistently.
Well, you didn't have to learn 200 breeds.
Right, yeah.
And you didn't have to learn breeds by judging only one or two every weekend, which will never make you an expert. How smart you are, how great a background you have, and how respected you are. If you have a new breed to judge and you never see more than two of them together, you're never going to be an expert in that breed, period. And we see it in some rare breeds that I happen to know from my life in the past. And these are great judges. And I see them raving about these dogs. And I'm like, man, you need to come to a show where there's 300 coonhounds before you tell me that's a great one.
Right.
But you're learning from what you see in front of you.
But also stops the argument of judging their decision, right? Because how we can't say, well, he doesn't know anything about the Schneckenhagen hound. Because
right.
How do we know? He does. He knows more than we do. So
that's right.
Group, so.
Yeah. I've said it before, but I worked at Crufts all those years with Frank Kane and Peter Purvis and Jessica Holm. Peter, who is a brilliant actor and famous personality in England from some terrific dog shows and movies. He's in a new series at his age. He just got a new gig. Loved him. And we're talking about unpronounceable European names once the dogs were allowed to come on the pet passport to Crufts. And I said to him, you know, how do you possibly know how to pronounce that name? He says, I don't. I do it with authority. And I think that's exactly the point, right? If you have a rare breed in there, you do it with authority and say, that is the best schnitzel humper I've ever seen in my life. Who's to argue?
Who's going to tell you your own?
Who's to argue? And if you have that clout and that respect, people are going to follow you and off you go. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, a dog can get started by one judge starting them off on a big win that has that kind of panache.
But there was a time when I was still showing dogs and I was trying to get a dog off the ground, I would look for the Mrs. Clarks and the Janies and the Bobs, and because people respected them. So if you own one under them, it kind of opened the door a little for you. So
I remember winning and by the way, mother beat me often. Now, that's a terrible thing to say, right? Danny Forsythe, who was kind of like my mom, never physically beat me, but she chose dogs over my dogs. Let's be clear here. My mother was special and beautiful and lovely. This is my mom, Janie, and she'd not.
We're being shut down.
My mom beat me off. What's the matter with you? That's how I learned so much. You know, over here, knock your knuckles. Anyway, she wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't always win under if she had a better dog. And one day we're at show in Florida and she gave me the breed over quite a few specials from the open dog class. And one of the handlers said, boy, I'm really surprised. Why'd you like that dog better? Insinuating it's because I worked for Janie.
Right.
He said one word, type. Now get out of here.
Yeah,
that guy didn't argue with her about that.
Nope. Exactly.
It was over. Breed type. And if Janie's going to tell you, and pointers especially, that she preferred the dog with the most breed type. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying that I always had the best ones. It was easy that day. I did have the only one with breed type. So, you know, you just have to go through these things. And really, Susie's question was in part spurred by your interview with Val by saying she did that without advertising. With that said, when Valerie's had great success in her breed for a billion years, try that if you don't have that.
Yeah, well, you do garner some respect when you walk into the ring. Like people are gonna take a double look at your dog because you're Wayne Cavanaugh and you breed the best snookle hunters in the country. So. Yeah.
So that is a little, that's a sort of a different scenario because, well, if you're showing an Irish setter, judges can probably have a look at it, right? Even if you never advertised it before. So yeah, there is that thing. And there's also the gray area of what's a breeder, owner, handler kind of thing. So there, you know, there are people who may be owner handlers, but they're also pros or people who have been around long enough to have some profile in that breed, which is, you know, eventually all impacted by the advertising. Now, in England, the and I wish I knew the exact numbers of weeks, but during a political election for, you know, national office, you can't announce your candidacy until very close to the election. And when you do, you cannot advertise. So there's no advertising, same, you know, without not advertising a dog. So there's no place for all that to happen. But it does anyway, because the newspapers, the tabloids over there, pick somebody and promote or slam the other guy.
Right.
So there's this other kind of advertising without formal ads in a magazine.
Which
so
we have
the ads out of a magazine, there'd still be other ways to advertise.
Yeah, we still have that. We still have that here. There's still great promoters in this sport.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so. There is. Yeah, some of my heroes. I the watch the way they played the game was. I was going to ask someone who's a real legend in their breed about a particular dog last week, and then I thought, I'm not saying he's going to lie to me. He's not. He's never going to. But he's not going to really want to say anything about this particular dog to anybody. Maybe not even himself. Because right. He was so close to the owner, the handler, the breeder, the everything. So you know when to ask who about what. And that just comes with time. It just comes with time and learning. So
it's true.
Yeah, there you have it. And where from, now what do you do? How long are you there? Are you doing anything?
I'm here. I'm visiting Sherry and Daryl for about 3 weeks.
Bert right? Smith, by the way, folks.
Yeah, sorry.
Seven names and yeah. Co-breeds
Bill Smith and Sherry Burnt Smith. Yep.
And you're co-owners and breeders with them.
Yep. And I visit them. I didn't last year. We didn't get a chance to get together last year. We met at the National, but every year I try to come out here and we hang out and just have fun and talk beagles for a few weeks. And yeah. It's fun.
Cheryl and I really enjoyed her down at the National. She's wonderful and funny and very bright. Yeah. That's good company.
Yeah.
And you'll be down there. Now there's the beagle specialty. There's a bunch of specialties.
There's a hound specialty, the beagle specialty. And then after we're done here, I think it moves to Puyallup and then Portland, I believe. So
yeah. I always said Puyallup until I figured out.
Puyallup.
True.
Puyallup. And our friend Eddie's out here in Portland. So we're going to get together. And,
Eddie who, Will?
Eddie Zook.
Thank you very much. We're learning.
And so we're going to, he's doing beagles one day. So obviously I'm not going to exhibit that day. We'll just go hang out with Ed and have dinner and hopefully get together. So,
yeah, that'll be fun. Really be fun. Again, poor Eddie and I, we feel a little bad that we've shut you out of Westminster this year.
Hopefully you'll have my turn.
I hope so.
I will have my vengeance.
It just so happens Will has two breeds, two dogs that he owns, an Irish Setter and a Beagle. I'm doing Irish Setters. Eddie's doing the Hound Group. The poor guy, his only two dogs. Any two other breeds, right? You'd be fine if you had 190. You have 198 other breeds you could have that would be, you'd be fine, but not those two particular breeds.
Well, that's why I'm friends with you, too, because those breeds are close to all of our hearts, right?
That's true. Yeah, that is true. That's true. Yeah, I look forward to it. It should be fun.
I'm going to come in and I'm going to watch you guys. So,
yeah, well, that will be fun. It'd be good to talk afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And any hand signals during Will, I'd like to discourage that. If you stand and start pointing at something, I think that would be untowards. I think that would be not a good idea. So try not.
Go to the left. Go to the left.
I don't know. There's going to be a time to make this public, but there was a high profile personality who became a judge who asked me and another person, both the time employees at the American Kennel Club, to sit ringside and actually give them hand signals to get through a new breed. Yeah. Yeah, that actually happened. Oh, the book I could write. Oh, sure. The book I could write. Yeah. I need a pretty big team of lawyers, but there you have it. So what do you think about seminars? Well, what have you got going on up there? And how do you approach them? Have you taken any? Have you given any?
Seminars? No, I have not taken any official seminars. CDGA, the Hand Dog Judges Association, puts on seminars every week. And unfortunately, the nights that they have them online, I'm busy every night teaching classes.
Yeah.
But I believe that they've approached me about doing beagles and Irish Setters.
Yeah.
So I'll probably pick your brain about that because I've never done a breed seminar before, never given a breed seminar before. I've mentored people at ringside.
I'd do them with you.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun, right?
I'm big on the PowerPoint slides and pictures. Ask Cheryl how many billions of hours I spend on one of those things. She won't be happy unless she's watching some of her favorite shows. She's hooked on this. It's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. She's got some, she's streaming some series.
Oh, I've heard of that. I've heard of that. My sister watches
Frankie
that.
Frankie and somebody. Yeah. Every night. I got a phone
Gary
call.
Gary and I were discussing your Hallmark addiction the other day.
Oh, no, no more. No more Hallmark addiction. I've moved on, Will. I've elevated my my whole essence of television. The Hallmark movies for me are Christmas only. Mm-hmm. Because the whole darn thing is so fake. It gives me faith in fakeness and gets me through the doldrums. But seriously, if you've got $4.99 hanging around, or you may even have this on your package, if you're a streamer, and I'm an advanced guy now, Will. I'm a streamer. There's no
you're
cable
for this guy.
Only the, it's not only the kids that are streamers. I don't have, I cut the cables, what I did. And I just stream. Now, you know, I hate.
You still have a landline?
No, not for years. Not for years. We have orange juice cans and strings. The neighbor and I do that a lot. We just put the orange juice cans and strings.
Remember I use that, that analogy in my seminars and half the class doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I'll bet you're right. Sorry, youngsters, ask your parents about the orange juice cans and strings.
Yeah. If the string's tight, I can hear you. If the string is loose, I can't hear you at all.
That's right. Well, I after working in television a good portion of my life, it's hard to watch TV with me if you're a family member or a friend, because I can tell you how it's being shot and why it sucks or why it's good or why it's boring. And I also have no problem figuring out how the show is going to end after the first 30 seconds. I think most Americans can. But
well, there's a recipe nowadays. So it's just.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all formulaic.
Yeah.
But when I was not well earlier this month, I ventured through, I went to the TV and I don't go there. I don't watch a lot at all. But I found Discovery Plus has a show called The Lost Kitchen. And I am here to tell you, it's one of the best shot shows. It's beautifully scripted. Well, it's not scripted as far as the voice goes. It's constructed. The director's a genius. And whoever pitched the show must have had the easiest time because the premise is so good. But it is just brilliant. And there's another one. And it's about a woman. I don't want to get too far into my TV reviews here, but it's about a woman who had a rough start.
A whole new thing for us. We could start just reviewing TV shows.
It'd be. She had a rough start in life. It's a great story. I don't want to get into details because it'll blow it for you. Ends up, she started a restaurant in Freedom, Maine. Population, I think, is her and her mother. It's the middle of nowhere. She bought an old grist mill, fixed it up, and she's never been formally trained as a chef, although her restaurant has been rated one of the best in the world. To get into a restaurant, you send postcards in only. Tell you when to get a reservation. It might take years. You might never get picked. It's just random out of the postcard box. Her post office was struggling. They didn't get enough mail. They weren't going to stay in business. Postcards took care of that. So she's really helped her town in so many ways, but she only buys produce from her local organic farmer friends. So what she does is when they send her the week of, here's what I have, she looks at those fresh ingredients and says, I can make this from that. And she's open 4 days a week. It's a setting for 40 people. You all get there at the same time. You eat for 5 hours and everybody's the same thing. It's a, you know, fixed menu. But the story of how these women run this thing, the choreography, the subtle poetry, the way they move in the kitchen, the beauty shots are unbelievable. The backstories are beautiful. If you're a foodie, you really love it. But just the whole story is amazing. It's called The Lost Kitchen. On Discovery Plus. Also, I love English cottages and English kitchens. There's a show called For the Love of Kitchens. And it's this couple that could only be done in England that builds these handmade little bits to put kitchens together. So what I want to do, Will, is put a dog show and bring in the Lost Kitchen and have the bespoke kitchen guys come and build the kitchen. And then we can all sit around and eat. And talk about dogs. I'm trying to make a segue here. I'm trying. It's a reach, right? Should I go on about my TV reviews? There's more. No, I won't. Lost Kitchen, and For the Love of Kitchens, which is not about eating, it's about building. And then you got your In with the Old. No, Out with the About Old Houses. Well, that's what it's about. Watch that too. Get your mind out of the gutter. Stop watching this crap and this pablum that's hand-fed formulaic crap, and watch some beautifully slapped, beautifully made shows. It'll elevate your mood and your intelligence by 1,000 IQ points, so you can read dog standards better and take better seminars. See how I did that one?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, seminars are easy, interesting to give, and we talked about last week how some clubs now are really restraining what people can say. I also think it's interesting that parent clubs determine the seminars and pick the people who can give them. Probably a good premise, mm-hmm. But what about Fisher? He's probably not on the approved list for that stuff, or a member of any club, Breed Club.
Bobby Fisher.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to go to a seminar that Bobby did?
Irish Terriers by Bobby Fisher. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not official. Can't get points. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'd pay. Not a problem. There's so much to unpack when it comes to the seminar thing. And I think we should all celebrate any educational opportunity we can come by. How do you even imagine how much education you got as a kid going down to the Eldridges?
No, I can't. I can't. Everything, even things that aren't concerned with Irish sitters, still fall back to things I learned there. So.
Even just life in general.
Yep. Sportsmanship, how to talk to people, how to evaluate dogs. Yeah. It all started there in Middleburg, Virginia.
I mean, Tom Bradley was kind of like my Ted Eldridge, and still is. He not only taught me a lot about dogs, taught me about life.
The first time I met Tom was in Middleburg, Virginia.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You see that? We're like Kevin Bacon. Seven connections of whatever that means. I don't know what it means. I do like bacon, though. And you can see some good bacon. You can see some good cooking of bacon on The Lost Kitchen. So...
We're not getting paid by that show, I'm telling you. No,
there's no ads. It's just stream. You stream. The only thing about streaming is you got to push too many damn buttons, Will. You got to push too many buttons. And things happen in the middle that get you mad because you pushed the wrong button is what you did. And then you're off and you're watching some basketball game in some other country with different rules.
Well, I went through that last night, Wayne, because the Leafs played St. Louis last night. And I have my Canadian streaming that works where I'm in Canada. As soon as I cross over, it doesn't work. And they give you those apps you can get. Are they VPNs is what they call it? Yeah. Or something. Yeah. I can never get them to work consistently.
Yeah.
So I started searching, trying to find a streaming app for the game last night. And I couldn't find it. The game was over. I ended up listening to it on the radio. So,
actually, I like listening to hockey on the radio.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I'm missing a big story here.
Uh-oh.
On January 1st, they televised the show from Orlando.
Yeah, they did, yes.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. No.
I'm a critic, to a fault, perhaps, of televised dog shows. But when it's done well, you know, Westminster's sensational all the time and money, but it's hard to televise a dog show and do it right. It was 3 hours. And here's the thing you have to remember. People say, you know, back, you know, they showed every breed longer and did more of this with every, there are 200 breeds now, 200. You try to fill, and it's not 110 like it used to be. You try to fit in 200 breeds into a dog show and do it right. They did several brilliant things. The two things that I like best what they did is they stripped out the narration that was done live. They took that out and revoiced it. And the way you do that, it's called live to tape. You sit and watch the tape with two new people. In this case, it was two of the three that did the narration from live. And Gina DiNardo, and I don't know the talent's name, but the, you know, that's what we would call the non-dog show person, professional announcer. Those two watched the show on TV on a monitor, and then you talk over it. It sounded scripted, but it sounded very well scripted. There was no pause. And when the timing is so tight and you've got to talk, knowing you've got 13 seconds on that breed and the script matches it, it makes it so efficient and crisp. There was no mention of favorite toys and snacks and nicknames. I give not one about that. I was so glad to see that removed. They talked about the breeds, the purpose of the breeds, and what the judge is looking for. A tip of the hat, bravo, well done. Really, it was so refreshing. Yes, you'd like to get all the other events in. You just can't. Right. 3 hours, 200 breeds, and everybody got their shot. You know, I mean, might have been a few seconds, but everybody got their shot. They didn't focus on anything except that breed, and I really thought that was great. The other thing that they did, which I've been complaining about or inspired about for 30 years, is they showed more and more B-roll, short, brief snippets is all you need, of those dogs from the dog show at home, swimming, hunting, foraging, herding, doing dog stuff, being just in the house, being a pet and a companion, taking a walk on the beach. That's what viewers want to see. And it also is a great way to show America that we're not just show dogs. These dogs have a way bigger life than just their time in the ring. And rather than make them sort of, you know, objectified items, it gives them a life as a real dog to show them running in the mud, wherever it might be. Westminster's always...
It makes them human almost. It's like the human side of it. And
yeah. Westminster's done a good job of that too. I remember seeing the poodle who went best in show swimming in a mud and pond. And I thought that was just sensational, especially for that breed. I mean, it was great. But hats off. ABC, you did a great job. I don't know who you were, what production team was there, but their camera shots were good. And the voiceover was well done. And the beer, and they had little snippets of just Instagram shots of these dogs at home. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be every breed. But yeah, well done. And looked great. Good timing. It's not quite the same as launching it on Thanksgiving Day because people are doing different things on New Year's Day. But I hope they got a good viewership. Don't know what the ratings were. But the more dog shows of quality that we can put on the air, the better. You know, we've got Philly now. You know, we've got Westminster.
Purebreds in the eye of the public.
Yeah. And bridged more to the public. And we've got to accept that as dog show people, that these are done for the public as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hats off. Anything else, young William?
I don't know. I have, I told you my day planner for the next 3 weeks. Well, where are you off to?
Well, I'm off to the seamstress, Will, because my pants, I think I'm shrinking. A lot of my new slacks look like yours when you judge the Irish Saturday National.
I'm not going to leave it.
I couldn't help it. No, they need to be hemmed is what they do. And I think people of our stature, we should get that done free, don't you think? I think they should not try.
Because you can't find seamstresses out there, tailors, come forward to help us.
It's like pro bono work for people without the length of leg we'd like to have. And I think we should get hemmed free. So I have to go to the seam. That's my big one coming up, Will, is getting my picture taken and getting my pants hemmed. That's the joy.
So what is this picture for?
You have to do Westminster bios.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, and you always need them for other stuff. Like if you
send a Robert Redford 8x10 in and say,
that's what I've been sending for years and no one has ever picked up on it. I must, you know, his messy hair picture is the best for me.
Yeah.
I hope all the people don't think we're serious. Anyway, about those things.
I don't think they are.
I'm going to New Jersey for a wedding. Hey, a wedding in Jersey where my family's from. You know what I mean? It's going to be good. Forget about it. We're going to have a good time down here. So me and my friends are going to be down there, see the relatives, see the kids. We got a lot of FBI agents, a lot of cops in the family, and that's true. They're all going to be there. So it'll be safety at the wedding, Will. They'll be carrying heat is what they're going to be carrying, Will. So I do that. And then from there, I go to... Kenny shows in Great Lake.
Oh, good.
Judging there, a lot of my new breeds there too. And then off to Maryland and then Florida. So some good stuff, good entries and good shows, my next three. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, good shows. So I'm looking forward to that. They'll be reasonable. They'll be good size shows with good breed entries. And that's the fun stuff. So other than that, we have an event coming up in a couple of weeks. I've got to tell you a little story. I've got a whiteboard right here in my office.
I'm sure you do.
And in the whiteboard, it lists all my assignments so I can keep track of where the heck I'm going, Will. And when people call, I can tell them, right? I can't do that. Well, our daughter was here, and she's a pretty good creeper. She likes to snoop a little. She kind of glances at the mail, you know, innocent, that kind of thing. She's sitting here in my office on the sofa, which is never going to happen twice. And why she would ever come in here in the first place, I don't know. And she looks up the whiteboard and says, oh, I see you're judging on February 18th. And I say, well, what's the problem with that? That's my due date, Dad.
Oh.
Ouch. When you make plans and accept assignments, you don't know that your daughter's going and son, they now say that both of them are pregnant, are both pregnant and having a baby the day I'm gone. Now, we're going to hope she goes 3 or 4 days late.
Right.
But that's one of the job hazards is taking assignments on important days in history. So there you have it. But other than that, life's a cabaret. Pack your bags, young William. You're going to Palm Springs.
I am. I'll be leaving in a couple hours.
Great. We'll have fun out there and keep me posted.
I will.
Yeah. Let me know if you win a prize. Did you sell any tickets on the winner prize after last week's discussion about your famous straw? Oh,
up in the nonstop. Nonstop. People just asking for photos, or if I could just get even if I draw a picture of it and send it to them. Just,
yeah. You know, I was thinking about if you could just cut up little pieces, you know, like they do with a football stadium or whatever, chair in the baseball field, you know, just little 8x8 pieces of metal from the truck, and you just cut them and sign them. And
that's a good idea. Mark that down.
And there's a lot of setter specialties that are looking for trophies, Will. I'm telling you, that could be it.
A chunk of fiberglass.
Parts off the winner prize.
The box, aluminum.
What about the actual piece that has the words winner prize on it? What's that worth?
Oh. Or we could break it up just into the letters. That way we would enhance, we'd have more to sell.
But if you did a memorial trophy, you know, or perpetual, not memorial, you're not dead.
Great.
You know, that's the piece of metal you'd have to win 4 or 5 times before you got to keep it.
Got to keep the winner prize. Well, yeah. If someone's interested, you know my email.
Yeah, I like it. All right, good. All right. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Wayner. Stay safe out there, everybody, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Taking yourself damn seriously.
Hit it!
I'm on a
Thanks, Ernie.
We didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I don't want to see it on a blooper anywhere.